everybody, where are my dogs at? Roof, 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 roof. Where are my dogs at? Roof, 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 roof. Where are my dogs? Now, I'm not that guy, and you know that. You know that, folks. Welcome to Pep Talks. I'm not the guy who goes, where are my dogs at? First of all, I always know where my dog's at. I have two beautiful rescues, Basil and Charlotte, and I always know where they are because they're a centerpiece of my life. And people who don't know where their dogs are, I think are irresponsible and just really don't have a moral center. So anyway, I know where my dog's at. I'm not that guy, right? Pep Talks, by the way, we're going to have a call-in today. We're going to have a call-in at 5 o'clock, which is about a half hour from now. So I'll be holding down the fort for about 25 minutes or 25 minutes or whatever. It doesn't matter. Time. Why are we so goddamn concerned about the time? Like, oh, 25 minutes, a half hour? Oh, God. What are you, oh, 22 minutes. It's 22 minutes. But anyway, I've had kind of a – so, yeah, I'm not the guy who says, where are your dogs at? Because I am the guy who is – you know, I just have so many demons. You know what I mean? I was just talking to a friend today, and my big thing is it's super hard for me to love myself. Where are my dogs at? That would be funny. The guy talking about he can't love himself, but his other personality, like he's a schizophrenic. He's a schizophrenic. He's like self-loathing, and really has trouble loving himself. Yet his other personality is just like a sports bar idiot. And don't get me wrong, I love the competitiveness of sports. And since I didn't get much love, I transferred like a lot of my validation into my sports teams. Let's take the Yankees in baseball. They've been losing lately, and it's been really bugging me. You know, I'm just like, you fuck. Like, they disappoint me as if they were a family member. They disappoint me as if they were a family member who betrayed me. You know what I mean? Like, that's really the level of, like, hurt. But I've gotten a lot better. As a kid, I'll never forget, I was listening to the Rangers hockey, and they lost. They got knocked out of the playoffs. And I just battered. It was the days of radio, you know. There was just radio, Ranger games I used to listen to, and like old-timey radio. And, they lost, and I just bashed the shit out of a radio. Like, just, I was so devastated. So now, I'm definitely not like that, but I still am aware that sports, you know, fills up this emptiness. But I have some advertisements. You know, we have some great ads. We've had some phone calls, which is terrific. I'll play them for you as well. I'm gonna chat it up a little. I don't know. I mean, it's just hard. It's hard when you are blocked in life. You know what I mean? Like, when you just can't go for what you want to go for, or you're actually your worst enemy. That is really the worst. Like, I was telling my friend today that I have such a voice in my head that says, you're a piece of shit. I'm not kidding. I have a voice in my head that says, you're a piece of shit. Roof, 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 roof. Where are my dogs at? Roof, 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 roof. You see, what I'm trying to do there is that when I put it out on the table that I have, like this, I have to, I'm my own worst enemy a lot of the times, you know, and a lot of the time. And, you know, it's just really, it's like so deflating. And I realized, like, I'm malnourished spiritually. That's why, excuse me, that's why I go toward, you know, Buddhism, go toward God. I'm so malnourished. Go toward people, sports, food, because I'm just craving. I'm craving like food, I'm craving nutrients, except it's like love. Like, I'm craving good feeling. I'm craving for this voice of self-hatred to get shut down. Now, of course, I've used the self-hatred to become a comedian. And, you know, I was talking to a friend about how difficult it can be to get on stage and try to make people laugh when you feel like you've got nothing. And what I do is that I use that self-hatred and try to get into absurdity and just kind of put myself out there and somehow turn that self-hatred into humor. And it works a lot, but sometimes I'm just not up for the challenge. I've got two shows tonight. I'm going to be at the Comedy Store. This is Wednesday, September 5th, I believe it is. And I'll be at the Comedy Store at 10:45 tonight, and then also a show at the Lyric Hyperion tonight at 8 o'clock. So anyway, I will be doing stand-up tonight. And stand-up is such a good outlet, too, for me, because I just kind of like that warmth that I get from, you know, the acceptance of the crowd is also amazing. Now, when I don't get it, wow. Like, when I bomb, you know, because I'm just not hitting the right tone, I'm not reading the crowd right, I'm just off whatever it is, then, wow, that is a little dance I have to do with myself. Like, I almost have to rationalize. No, it's not you, Eddie. You know, like a real survival mode thing, you know. But where are the dogs at? All right, we got some. Let's go to our first ad, and then we'll go to a phone call. But, you know, I was talking about, you know, making the podcast a little therapeutic. Podcast, like, not that, you know, that sounds horrible, but like talk about issues that are really deeply affecting us and not make it morbid, you know. I mean, I can be very morose, you know. Boy, it's easy to go down that dark hole. Who was I watching a special about? Mark Twain, PBS. Which sucks, by the way. PBS is, they constantly beg for money. Meanwhile, the CEOs are making a fortune, yet they're begging for money constantly from people. But they have a couple of good shows. I mean, I love documentaries. This was actually a Ken Burns documentary, and I do get hooked into, you know, that whole thing. Like, and this was Mark Twain. Mark Twain was a very depressive guy. He went through a lot of tragedy. He lost a lot of different family members. He was considered the first stand-up of his time as well. There was a part, I watched part two last night, and that's not to brag that I have the ability to watch part two of a Ken Burns documentary about Mark Twain. By the way, Ken Burns, I heard, really kind of whitewashed U.S. involvement in Vietnam. A lot of people watch that one. I didn't watch it, but, you know, like, oh, no talk about the invade, no talk about why we invaded. And that's what I heard anyway. Yeah, Twain was like a celebrity and a loner later in his life. Like, he had no family at this point. And basically his daughters kind of disowned him or were away. And he would just walk up and down Fifth Avenue in a white linen suit. And I'm laughing because I always tell my wife, not to brag that I have that kind of commitment to others, even though that, you know, I am malnourished spiritually. But Twain used to walk up and down Fifth Avenue in New York in a white linen suit just to be noticed. And I totally get that. He just needed to be loved. He like just needed to be loved. And this is, a preeminent genius in American literature. And I tell you, I of course, like everybody, read Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer, but I haven't read a lot of Twain, and I want to. And that's another thing that freaks me out is not getting to books that I want to get to. And I'm getting older. I mean, I know it's hard to tell how old I am because of the skin products I use and, just the light that beams from me. I'm like, I'm the space child who is like, Ken, where is love? Woof, 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 woof. Where are my dogs at? I was in the gym again, not to brag that I actually have a will to live and, was in the gym. I was in the gym today. I just glanced up at the TV. I hate looking at TV in the fucking gym. People are watching CNN while they're on the treadmill, which to me is antithetical to health. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, all of it. Just the news. It's just a fucking shit show and hysteric, just a hysteria and just a constant looping, of nothingness that leads nowhere. The democracy's in a shambles. There's never any context given. There's I don't know. Anyway, it's just, and it's addictive too. Addiction is such a fucked up thing, and the news is addictive. But I glanced up at the TV, and Ellen. One of the TVs was on Ellen, and it was muted. But she just introduced somebody, and it was a guy, a black dude, who's an incredible dancer, and he just danced in the aisles for a while. And then the next segment, and this kind of killed me. She introduced Mark Wahlberg, and he came out in a white T-shirt. He's very cut, very fit, and he came out in a white T-shirt. And it was just very funny to see all these women giving him a standing ovation. Now, the reason I'm laughing at that is, why are they giving Mark Wahlberg a standing ovation? What the fuck did he do? His movies are, kind of macho. Like, lately they've been very patriotic bullshit movies about the sniper and a couple other things. But I just saw it as, like, starfucker shit. Like they're just, they're just clapping, like seals. Like, oh, it's Mark Wahlberg. Oh, God, it's Mark Wahlberg. What I'm saying is celebrity is fucked up. It's a celebrity culture. Right. And celebrity is just a distraction. It's just it. And I get it, too, because I get celebrity as being a distraction. I want distraction. I distract myself. I've been watching the Netflix show Ozark, which is just about the worst in people. But it hooks me in. Like, I think I'm just hooked, and a lot of people are hooked into the darkness of things. The news is dark, the violent. We're hooked on violence, I think. Like there are violent parts of Ozark, but it's emotionally violent all the time. It's emotionally violent. Like there's threats to everybody all the time, and people are just plotting to kill people. But I think it's a good time for our first ad. I've been meaning to read our first ad, and it's this one is by I think our best sponsor. It's the Chatsworth Actors Guild. Okay, and they just have helped so many people start careers here in Hollywood, and they're great. And I just want to thank them personally for being a sponsor, and for Matt Rasamoto. I say his name differently each time. And here we go. Chatsworth Actors Guild. Matt Rasamoto writes these, and they're a great sponsor. It can be hard to step off the bus in Hollywood and start your acting career. Let me give you two points of advice I was given so many years ago by a scruffy young go-getter named Bradley Cooper. Anybody remember Bradley Cooper? I actually did his show called Limitless on CBS, and I still get residuals. Limitless was canceled, and I believe the last episode was the one I did, and that's not the first show that I've had canceled after an appearance I've done. House also ended after an episode I did. So don't think I can't cancel your shows. That's the point behind that. But here we go. Let me give you two points of advice I was given so many years ago by a scruffy young go-getter named Bradley Cooper. Number one, enroll with Chatsworth Actors Guild. Why can't I speak? Enroll with Chatsworth Actors Guild. Their talent pool is world famous. Two, auditioning is more than being able to peel a grapefruit with your butt. You have to emote. CAG, Chatsworth Actors Guild, is a great organization for actors just starting out. They can help you get your talentless feet on the ground and show you the ropes. To find your local CAG rep, go to the gas station bathroom where Nordorf meets Gresham. Okay, do you know where that is in Chatsworth? Go to the gas station bathroom where Nordorf meets Gresham. Lay out two fat Coke rails on the broken tile next to the rusty condom machine. You'll see it. When you see a cell phone light peep at you through a duct tape padded glory hole, you are in show business. Join Chatsworth Acting Guild today and let the acting begin. They're just good people. Just solid, solid people. Also, I want to play now like I said, we had a couple of voicemails. Let's play this first one. Here we go, guys. Thanks for bearing with me. Voicemail.
Really enjoyed the podcast. Been listening to it for a while. I don't know how long. I listened to Eddie on Marin's live podcast a while back, and they talked about the Bubble Boy and a bit about the Harvard debate team. I don't know. I liked all the ones. I liked the personal ones as well. When Eddie was in kind of in a bad place and doing stuff on his phone, the sound quality was kind of rank, but I enjoyed those. So maybe I'm just like fucked up and I don't have anything to offer you guys. New format, not as much in love with the live ones for some reason. I don't know. I guess I just like it to be more personal. Did like the conversation I just heard between, Rossimoto and you. Anyways, thanks a lot. I really appreciate, your work and, helps me out. Thanks. Bye.
That was so nice. I hope you guys heard that one. That's funny. He didn't leave. I don't think he left his name, but he was talking about how when I used to do the podcast in my car, it was very personally like that. And I'm trying to, you know, again, do something like that. But he said the sound quality was rank. And then right now it was a little rank, too. I have another one here. All right. This is one. Here we go.
Hey, Eddie. It's Scott in Canada. It's 20 degrees hotter than it should be. And just wanted to let you know I still have hope because I managed to semi-train a chipmunk to eat out of my hand and off my wife's feet. Just a little upper for you in our capitalist dystopian nightmare shitstorm. Okay, have a good podcast.
Oh, Scott, thank you, Scott from Canada. That was very funny. Yes, it's 20 degrees warmer than normal. And but Scott had hope because he trained a chipmunk to eat out of his hand and off his wife's feet. Yeah, I think that we have to go for anything that takes us out of ourselves, you know, and if it's training a chipmunk to do that. A chipmunk. Oh, yeah. I was thinking of a chimpanzee, but no, a chipmunk. Yeah. Oh, wow. Scared. I get scared. I mean, I love animals. Of course, you know, I'm vegan and I love animals, but I do get scared of any wild animal, like a chipmunk. I always think, oh God, their teeth, and they're unpredictable and they're so instinctual and they're going to go for me. And I also think nature represents, like, wild nature represents our subconscious, like, just anything can happen, and it isn't structured, and oh God, you know, like, just, boy, I've been dreaming a lot too lately, I had a dream where I had this huge pig, and again, I'm a vegan, huge pig that was in my father's garage, and the pig was dead, like in a coffin. And I was like, let's get it the fuck out of here. And the cops were like, no, you can't move it. I think pig, cops, I think that was part of, you know, so, the symbolism of it. And then so I said, fuck it. And me and two other guys secretly, we were like, all right, let's get it out of here later in the day, whatever. And then we got caught, and then I was being told, you're going to go to jail. And I have such a fear. I have such a fear of jail. I think I've talked about this once or twice. Prison, you know, God, my big fears are like violence and prison and, God, and we have the biggest prison population in the world, and it has become a crime to be poor in America. It really has. I mean, there are two Americas. There are two Americas. There's a great book by Matt Taibbi, who's a great social commentator. He writes for the Rolling Stone. And I've read a couple of his books. He wrote one on the campaign. I forget the fucking title of that one. Let me look that one up. I have these on Audible. I like listening to Audible books when I'm traveling. They're so great to go to sleep to. But his is so good. Taibbi covered the 2016 GOP. GOP primary season, and he called it Insane Clown President. If you get a chance, you have to read Insane Clown President. And then the other book that was relating to the point I was bringing up about my fear of prison and incarceration and the fact that, you know, we have the biggest prison population in the fucking world. Taibbi wrote a book called The Divide, American Injustice in the Age of the Wealth Gap. You know, basically pointing out that if you have money, you just avoid prison, you know, lawyering up, paying fines. Poor people, they can't even pay fines to get out of parking tickets or just minor offenses and wind up in prison. And then there was a great article by Chris Hedges this week in Truth Dig about, you know, modern day slavery being prisoners who are put to work by corporations and paid absolutely nothing. Just amazing that they are paid absolutely nothing. Oh, okay. I think we have a phone call. And yes, who is this, please?
Hey, it's Matt Rossomato.
Matt Rossomato.
God damn it, it's Matt Rossomato.
All right. It's Rossomato.
All the time.
It's Matt Rossomato. Matt, thank you for calling in. You're the producer here. And I just wanted to talk to you. What is your biggest fear in life? I just talked about, I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if you heard it on the phone. But one of mine is going to prison. And I just feel like, I'm serious, like going to jail. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid of violence. Like I feel like, and you know, prisons are just, you know, super violent, abusive, you know, It's I don't know. I was talking about a dream I had where I was going to have to go to jail and I was freaking out. But that's one of my biggest fucking fears, going to jail, being locked away. What about you?
White linen suits. Having to wear a white linen suit. That sounded terrible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely terrible.
Why? Because I understand that linen... I haven't had many linen things because I'm a kid from the working class with crooked teeth, yet I do rebel against the powers that be. I have the courage to rebel against the powers that be instead of falling in line like the sheep. Woof, 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 wherever that my dog's at. But I hear that linen is a beautiful material, and a white linen suit made a lot of sense to me. My wife said you would dirty that in a second because a lot of food that I eat falls on my clothing. Does that happen to you?
Yeah. Yeah, if you eat like I eat, there's just no saving anything you wear.
Are you like that too?
Yeah, I don't even chew. I just take a broom handle and just shove the food down my throat. Who's got the time to chew anymore? It's 2018.
Who's got
the time to chew?
By the way, I believe we should be fed with just like a blow dart with nutrients in it. Like a gun comes from your kitchen, like it's attached to the wall, right? And you pull it out and it just shoots a meal into you. And just it's like a small needle and it just bang. That was Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving can be over in about, I don't know, 2 to 5 seconds, like boom. But you still will get the tryptophan effect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm tired of using only one orifice to eat with, like a lazy person. I've got several orifices. Just use them all at once. Get the food in me. Let's be done. I got stuff to do.
Yes. Well, you're a go-getter. You're a go-getter, right?
Right. I've got naps to take.
Yes, by the way, that is a great point. Taking naps is really something that we have to do, and that has to get done. And that is on my to-do list every fucking day, is to take as many naps as I can squeeze into a day. And the naps are dependent on my ability to avoid reality. Naps are a great way to avoid reality, except you wake up a little frightened.
I like a good long nap, but my pets will lay on me while I sleep, and they just dump all of their hair. So when I wake up, I'm just layered, just slathered in animal hair after a nap. So
now you're speaking my language. I'm slathered in food products that have escaped my mouth onto my shirt. And animal hair. Food and animal hair.
Yeah, no white linen clothes for either of us. It's not going to work.
Yeah, yeah. So, but tell me, I'm afraid of going to jail. What's a real fear that you have?
Well, I've talked about it before. I've got a completely nonsensical fear of flying. And that's why I take
my
pill. Yeah, and it makes me angry because I know it makes no sense. Like, I used to fly all the time, and then one day it just ended for me, where the next flight was just a horrific experience.
I think that's a little bit, or a lot of bit, claustrophobia. What do you think of that?
No, I love the coziness of a good tight space. It's just the...
hey, look, this is not that type of podcast, all right? There's plenty of podcasts that will deal with that issue, and they are niche podcasts, and that niche is a tight, hard space, but I don't know if you used the word tight. You probably didn't. But are you being serious? You don't mind the comfort? You like...
No. I don't... So I'm not worried about being claustrophobia. That doesn't really bother me. I used to do a lot of spelunking as a kid, so I'm used to like the dark and you don't know what's next. I don't really care about that. But I think for me, it's the process. Mm-hmm. If you've ever used Southwest,
I have
to like deal with the lines. It's
Southwest.
My brain
like,
just goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean like lining up? You know, you have to be at A37 or B25. That kind
or
of shit.
Or just like it. they always mess up the ticket, so I've always got to go and use the counter.
Oh, really?
And explain to them my situation. I'm like, how much money did I just pay that I've got to now come up and explain that what my ticket says is I'm going from A to B. I'm giving you literally $1,000, and I still have to go up and validate myself for this trip because somebody mixed up something or misspelled my name or whatever on the ticket. And yeah. it's that kind of thing that I just, for me, it just ramps up in my head. Before I go on a trip, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to have to justify my existence to this poor person behind the counter who doesn't want to hear it because their life is so fucking horrible, and that's why they have this job. And so it, for me, just all ramps up. Over months, it becomes this trudging. Oh, yeah. If I know I'm going on a trip 6 months from now, then my brain will just start like a snowball on top of a hill. Just ratchet it and ratchet it.
Well, I was going to say, but I don't know if it makes sense because you do it 6 months ahead, but I can't because I go on a bunch of trips. So, but you're not so much talking about the act of flying, but you're talking about the whole fucking process, leaving, having to go through security. I do get panicked about that. But I think it's related to being uprooted. I think there's something about traveling that taps into this fear of leaving home, of going, you lose control. I think a lot of what we do is, in our domiciles, in our neighborhoods where we work, where we live, is we try to get everything under control. Like, okay, I get up at this hour and I have my coffee and then, and once you fucking get on a plane, once you head to the airport, you're leaving all of that control behind. Do you think it's related to your lack of control?
Oh, that's a good question.
A good question. Not here to ask bad questions.
I think about the lack of control. I mean, you literally are in someone else's hands the entire way. And that pilot, when he comes on, he does not sound like a sane person. Nothing he says makes any kind of sense. Like, he starts spouting numbers off and starts talking about, turbulence, which I think we all know is just made up words for gremlins. And, magically in however many hours you're going to land somewhere. It all feels.
Yeah, so it is lack of control. It is lack of control. We spend so much of our lives trying to control things, don't you? Or, because I think and especially these days in America when it's a shit show of Cirque du Soleil proportions. And I like Cirque du Soleil. I've seen Cirque du Soleil a few times, and I think I could use to see them again. But the shit show of our decayed /decaying democracy, potentially into fascism at this point, or just like again, most of America, a lot of America are going into poverty, and we're just feeling so kind of on edge that the urge for control is even greater, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I'll 100% back you that flying on an airplane is a form of fascism.
yes. That was my point, and good for you for picking up on that.
That's what I do.
So I don't know. I feel – so my fear, violence is such a primal fear. And I think my violence is also related to my fear of violence is related to my self-loathing, because it's kind of a violence that I do to myself, right? Woof, 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 where are my dogs at? I just want to always put that in there. What I'm trying to do with the where are my dogs at is that just because this is a psychiatric self-evaluation and a psychiatric evaluation of Matt Rasamoto or Matau or It doesn't mean we still can't have, you know, some good old-fashioned stupidity. Where are my dogs at? By the way, did you see Ellen today, Matt?
No, I don't watch Ellen. There's a little bit of history there.
Do we need to not get into that or get into that?
Well, I mean, if you remember like the early 90s, she did a lot of interstitials for Nickelodeon, and I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, finally a sexy comedian who's got some jokes about Lassie. And then after that, when she went mainstream, I was like, no, this isn't working for me. I liked her back when she was dark and rugged.
Right. She's the opposite of that now. You think that would happen to me? Like if I got like, let's just say NBC swooped in and made, and I replaced Fallon, right? Would I become, you know, just like a complete and utter sellout? Or would I say good evening, like to the whole nation, good evening, everybody. I'm afraid of violence. Don't you think that would be great if like Jimmy Fallon pivoted and he was like talking to the, you know, instead of going, oh, you know, we got Katy Perry tonight. And we have, you know, instead of that kind of shit. Which they all do, and they're all so boring, even though Jimmy Kimmel has seemed to become like the spokesperson for like sanity, you know, like Jimmy Kimmel is like our leader through the dark times. I don't know if you've caught any of Kimmel, but he's been very eloquent with speaking out against school shootings. That's his specialty. He speaks out against school shootings. And unwanted surgery by doctors in hospitals. No, I'm kidding about the last one, but it would be funny.
How fucked up do we have to be to have Jimmy Kimmel as the voice of reason?
Yeah, well, that's my point. And I like Kimmel. I used to work on his show until I didn't anymore. And that's my struggle is I have worked – And I'm not working that much these days. And, you know, maybe that's the key to my self-loathing. What are some of your other big fears?
Matt? Oh, other big fears.
Well, all right. You flying.
Pull out the lift.
Well, no, flying. I have a friend who's deathly afraid of spiders. Deathly afraid of spiders. And I think that's like, you know, you know, I get that fear of spiders. I'm super afraid of snakes. And someone pointed out it's a penis thing. Like, I may be afraid of, you know, penises that live in the wild.
I can understand that, yeah.
I'm afraid of going on a hike. What's that?
You don't want to be going on a hike and just being attacked willy-nilly by willies. It's not cool, yo.
You don't want to be going on a hike and get attacked by Willy and Nilly.
No. Nobody wants that.
But snakes, I think, are just like, I mean, I think it's just like a primal fear, snakes and spiders, you know? But what do you have any kind of fear of nature like that? Like, did you hear the point I made about nature being like such an unknown, you know? I think the unknown is, we're just wired to feel afraid of the unknown.
No, I grew up in the Ozarks, so
did you?
Always crazy.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Well, finish your thought first because I interrupt a lot. Yeah. Finish your thought.
So my mom's listening on Facebook right now, so she'll appreciate this one. But we used to live next to or near a drive-through zoo, which is the kind of zoo where you get in your car and they open up the gates and you just drive through the zoo. Right. Which was cool, except for people would have trucks, and when they get to like the monkey section, the monkeys would jump in the back of the truck and just drive out with you through the zoo. And so we would have these stories.
Sounds like something out of Ocean's 11.
Yeah, so people would just get attacked by monkeys in the woods because these crazy monkeys would be out there starving to death, and they would attack people.
Oh, that's fucked
up.
So
yeah, no. I'm used to crazy shit happening in like, you know, the Ozarks. You just deal with it. I've grown up in Arkansas. I have to say that And when I was in Kansas, too, I've had enough guns pulled on me that the last time somebody actually pulled a gun on me, I was just like, oh, yeah, this again. So the unknown doesn't really faze me. You get used to it after a while. After a while, it's just like, oh, yeah, something crazy is going to happen. And it's probably why I grind my teeth at night. But you just kind of, you live in a, you get used to a world of stress. And that becomes a new normal. And you're like, okay, this is where that goes. I do get afraid of inactivity. Ooh. when there isn't anything going on. Then I get worried because I'm like, no, there should be a level of madness consuming my day. And when I don't have it, then it feels weird.
Hey, like, can you hang on for 1 second while I do a commercial for Rider Duet? I just want to get to this commercial. So Rider Duet is a real sponsor, and I don't know if you're confused about how I say that these are real ads, and then I say, hey, Rider Duet is a real sponsor. I don't even know what's going on, but I know that Rider Duet is a sponsor, and these, again, written by Matt. Listen, before I go into our ad for Rider Duet, let me get something off my chest. As a celebrity, okay, and I think I am definitely a celebrity, as a bit low level, but, you know, as a celebrity who posts his personal information online, not from hubris, but because I want to connect with you, the audience, you can email me at epepitone, E-P-E-P-I-T-O-N-E, at sbcglobal.net, or call and leave a message for the podcast and me at 424-262-0904. That's 424-262-0904. Please leave us a message. You heard a couple of calls before. And I'll go out of my way to respond because I am 100% love. Some people want to use those outlets to try and be harmful. And I get a few of these each week. Let me make a suggestion. Type up your logorrhea in Write a Duet. Find some friends who also think of me as a shallow pool of toilet water and use Rider Duet's cooperative writing feature to really let me have it. I put a lot of work into this show each week. I have guests, a producer, a very talented group of engineers. The least you can do is put a little effort behind your rambling jumble of grammatical missteps and egregious spelling errors. Dad, Write a Duet. The link is in the description. So, yeah, Write a Duet is a real sponsor. And, yeah, pool your talent with their cooperative writing feature and come after me if you want. I can take it. By the way, Lolly is still in Florida, is he not? Or has he moved on from Florida?
No, Lolly's in Florida. He's got a he's going to be on a local podcast, which I don't remember off the top of my head. And he's also performing at the end of the month. He's going to be featuring, I believe, in Jacksonville. I'll add all that into the description.
But I was reading about some nasty weather in Florida. Like the Gulf Coast was bracing for Gordon is the name of this hurricane, I believe. Have you heard anything about Gordon the hurricane?
No, but I know Stephen lives on the edge of danger at all times. So.
Well,
I'm sure he's excited for it.
Yeah. Gordon the Hurricane, by the way, just made me think of a children's book that might be good, Gordon the Hurricane. And it's about Gordon just blowing everybody. Oh, sometimes I like just the worst jokes, you know, just the worst jokes, Gordon. But also, your wife is Japanese, is that correct?
Yeah.
Did you see Hurricane No, they call it Typhoon. Typhoon. By the way, what's the difference between a typhoon and a hurricane? Do you know?
I believe it's the direction it goes.
The direction,
yeah, or the location. It's either direction or location.
I think it's the location. But did you see Jebi, Typhoon Jebi hit Japan yesterday, Western Japan?
Oh, no. Great. Thanks. And I get to look forward to that tonight.
Wait a minute. It happened yesterday. Your wife is Japanese and it wasn't discussed in your household?
No, we're busy people.
Well,
you know.
me and my wife, there's no Japanese heritage in our household. And we're discussing Jebby 24/7 yesterday. Like, I'm like, honey, put on Jebby.
No, we're just surprised that there's two Hurricane Bianca movies. That's been our discussion.
What's that?
We just can't believe it. The two Hurricane Bianca movies on Netflix. We just can't believe that that's a thing.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember Hurricane Bianca. Was that a devastating one?
Yeah, it was. It was. So was the sequel.
So was the sequel. All right. Again, let's get back to a little bit of therapy. We don't want to have too good a time here. What other fear do you have? I mentioned spiders. Snakes for me is one. I just feel like a snake is going to come and bite me. Like, just whew, they're so quick, and there's something about a rattler, like seeing or a copperhead snake, like just watching them rear up, you know. Watching them rear up, which is a function on your iPhone, just watching them rear up and like getting ready to strike. It just seems like you can't do anything about that danger if it occurs. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like an indefensible thing, no matter how much Krav Maga you've taken.
Yeah, I don't think hand-to-hand combat works really well with snakes so much. I don't really have the fear of snakes so much, or animals. My brother and I, we used to capture all sorts of horrible animals and show them to our parents, who were very unhappy with us. But, I used to have a fear of boats, which I thought was pretty crazy
boats?
As well. I guess maybe it's just a general fear of transportation. Boats for sure. And I think it was just, you're on a boat, which is great, but then the ocean is so deep. You don't know what's really under there. None of us really know. And you can, and if something happens, then you've got to swim, but no one's going to swim like 5 miles to shore. It's just not going to happen.
Well, the ocean,
you're done.
The ocean, like, typically represents the id or your unconscious. Like, just, it is so vast. It is. I definitely have a fear of the ocean. It also is a little bit of an agoraphobic thing, because it's so vast. And I remember and this is not to brag or hurt anybody or make them feel less than, but I was in an improv troupe and we took a boat and it was like in Lake George, just a huge lake in upstate New York, I think. And we jumped off the boat, and I remember being in the water, and I had smoked pot. And I remember being in the water, and I just looked around, and all I saw was water. This isn't even in the fucking ocean, just a giant lake. And I just looked around and saw water, and a deep fear gripped me, and I actually kind of got paralyzed and had to be helped into the boat. And I was never the same comedically, improv-wise, after that. Like, every time I got a suggestion, I would do the same thing, which was, go into a Southern accent and not be able to connect with my partners. But yeah.
No, I now have a fear of improv groups on boats. That sounds horrific.
Well, you know, but that is a fear, though. The ocean is, again, travel, I think you have control. Like, I would have to say you might have, a control issue thing. Do you want to read the AmeriSuites ad? Do you have it in front of you?
I can pull it up. I'm surprised how... Yeah, I just wonder how clear I sound.
You sound clear.
No, do I? That's first time I've ever heard that in my life. Let me pull up.
This is a funny one. It's a funny one, but it's what AmeriSuites is about, and they are a great sponsor. And Matt Rasamato has written this, and we're happy AmeriSuites is on board. Do you have it? Do you have it in front of you?
I got it.
Okay, why don't you read?
All right. Leave the thin veil.
Not so easy, huh, Rasamoto? Because I know that you judge us when we're reading these fucking commercials and I stumble on a word. I just see your head shake. But go ahead. Third word, you fucked it. Go back. Go read it.
And let your fantasies come to life.
No. Start again. Yeah.
Streets across the U.S. What?
Start again.
Start from the beginning again?
Yeah.
This is what this is all about, isn't it? This is all about this. All right. Leave the thin veil of reality behind and let your fantasies come to life at any one of the AmeriSuites across the U.S. With a majority of other... goddammit.
Nice.
With the majority of their locations being next to parks, campgrounds, and truck stops, let the alpha predator in you go wild in the freedom you feel after a good night's stay at AmeriSuites Hotel. AmeriSuites Hotels are known for their opulent and spacious rooms. Their family-sized suites have separate sleeping quarters large enough for you and any number of teenaged runaways. All AmeriSuites beds have stylish, high thread count sheets. Only the softest and most plush blankets and cozy pillows, perfect for smothering the voices in your head right after you do their dark bidding. As always, before you commit to your plan of ritualistic murder-suicide, check out the bountiful breakfast buffet. Sure to put a smile on even the grumpiest faces lurking behind the flesh mask. So next time the voices in your head scream so loud you feel like you might burst, remember, don't downsize, AmeriSize.
Okay, that wasn't very good.
That's why you don't get
and that's your words too. Let me do it the way this should have been read. Okay,
do it.
This is AmeriSuites, folks, and they're just a great chain of hotels that allow people to do things. And they've been on board with us now since we started. So here we go. Leave the thin veil of reality behind and let your fantasies come to life at any one of the AmeriSuites across the U.S., with the majority of their locations being next to parks, campgrounds, and truck stops. Let the alpha predator in you go wild with the freedom you feel after a good night's stay at AmeriSuites Hotel. AmeriSuites Hotels are known for their opulent and spacious rooms. Their family-sized suites have separate sleeping quarters large enough for you and any number of teenage runaways. All AmeriSuites beds have stylish, high thread count sheets. Only the softest plush blankets and cozy pillows, perfect for smothering the voices in your head right after you do their dark bidding. As always, before you commit to your plan of ritualistic murder-suicide, check out the bountiful breakfast buffet, sure to put a smile on even the grumpiest faces lurking behind a flesh mask. So next time the voices in your head scream so loud you feel like you might burst, remember, don't downsize, AmeriSize. What'd you think?
You know, jar's pretty easy to open once I've loosened it.
All right. Well, we are at the 5:30 mark. I just want to say that there was a tweet by Mark Roman that said, "No offense at Jimmy Fallon, but your replacement has been suggested at Eddie Pepitone. Hey, you had a good run, Jimmy. Hashtag late night. Hashtag comedy. Hashtag Eddie Pepitone. Hashtag NBC. Hashtag now more than ever. Facebook.com. Pepitone fans." I guess that's the Facebook ad. Oh. Mark just DM'd me, which is lingo for people who don't Twitterize for direct message. He says, "You are a national treasure. I'd love to have you on my podcast someday." Yes, definitely, Mark. I will definitely be on your podcast, and I'd love to have you on this one as well. All right, Maddie, thank you for calling in. Do you want to tell the audience anything about the possible pivot of the podcast?
Sure. A few things. We're looking at bringing in more guests. and kind of reworking how we do guests, possibly. We're looking at doing live phone calls, which would be great, interacting more with the people on Facebook Live. There's a lot of new fun stuff coming down the pipe. And before I go, Eddie, have you seen anything funny on the street?
Ha ha! Thank you for reminding me. Have you seen anything funny where people walk around? Have you seen anything funny when you're outside your house and not in your car or a store? I'm talking about the street. Have you seen anything funny on the street? I know that was a lot of hustle and bustle. Well, you get the idea. Have you seen anything funny on the street? Let me think. I did. Now, I don't know if this is too funny. It's not that funny, but there was something a little funny about it. Me and my wife were walking our little doggies by the vet that we take them to because Basil had a little scratch in his eye, an ulcer in his eye. And I saw a guy sitting on a curb, and a grown man, dressed all in black, bald, and he was looking through a monitor, and above him was a drone. And he just was watching the drone. And I first of all, I find drones creepy. I find them extremely creepy, drones. And just to see this guy, like, so focused in on, I guess, what the drone is filming. And I kept wanting to look into his screen there to see what the fuck, you know. But I just think it's so ridiculous. Unless he was a filmmaker, then I give him a pass. But that was about that. You know, I saw that. Did you see anything funny on the street?
Fucking, I saw a woman walking a pig, but you just did an entire, like, drone thing. What did you see, Eddie? Oh, I saw Harbinger of Death. What did you see, Matt? Oh, a woman walking a pig. Yeah. Great. Great. Thanks, Eddie.
You saw a woman walking a pig? That's funnier than seeing a guy, a grown man, monitoring his drone. By the way, it was in a bucolic area, Valley Village here in L.A., in the San Fernando Valley. Really nice part of L.A., very suburban, very kind of sweet-ass neighborhood. And he's there with the drone just hovering. And you could hear the drone. By the way, one of the things I really love about drones is the vicious noise they make. Like, my dog is looking up, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, you idiot?
Yeah.
All right, Matt, thank you for being our call-in. You were going to say something about the podcast. You said before that I wanted to ask you about, have you seen anything funny on the street? Did you want to talk about it? The pivot?
No, I think mm-hmm. I think I said it all.
Okay.
You know, guests, phone calls.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for calling in. Next week we have Eleanor Kerrigan, right, Matt? Booked?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going
to
be fun.
And I'll be in Austin September 27th as part of the Altercation Comedy Festival. Please check that out. Altercation Comedy Festival. Google that. And then I'll be in Fargo, North Dakota, the 19th and 20th at the Tap Room out in Fargo, Dakota. And please keep listening to Pep Talks. Thank you to Emma, our engineer. And Emma, what's your last name again?
Erdbrink.
Emma Erdbrink. And we will be back next week with Eleanor Kerrigan, a very funny comic. All right, everybody. Thank you. See you later. Bye.